So I'll be discussing this seminar, The Art of Chanting. And why I'm discussing this, because you might be wondering why I'm discussing this seminar. Because chanting is chanting. That's all. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Simple, straightforward. But it's not straightforward. Because if it was, then we should have been perfect by now. But we are chanting daily. Sometimes we can't chant properly. Sometimes we are forcing ourselves to chant. Sometimes it's nice chanting, blissful chanting. But it's not perfect chanting. So how to achieve perfection in chanting? Srila Prabhupada said, if you become perfect in chanting, then you go back to Godhead. So there is a technique for that, which Prabhupada explains in his books, and also a proper attitude. So how to chant, why to chant, what to chant, that all you know. That's not a point of argument. We all chant Hare Krishna, so no problem in that. But that's what the seminar I'm going to discuss, why to chant and how to chant. First let me just, before telling you what is proper chanting, let me just tell you what is improper chanting. And there are many types of chanting which many devotees do, we also might be doing. And if you go to Vrindavan and Kartik, you will find all these kind of chantings. The first type of chanting is submarine chanting. We all do that sometimes when we are tired. Sometimes you are physically tired, so it happens like that. Now sometimes you are inattentive simply. So how it goes is, submarine chanting is like this. So you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Keeps on going like this for half an hour. That's submarine chanting, and suddenly you see, you have just chanted one round in half an hour. And then you have machine gun chanting. This is like, mostly congregation devotees who don't have time in their life and have to go to their office and this and that, and there's so much work. Or maybe in ISKCON, full-time devotees, they don't have time, they are just running here and there. Thank you. So they do this machine gun chanting, and it goes like this. It goes like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, and even faster than that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You can't even hear where is Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. It goes like that. Then you might have heard this. You might have done like that. Sometimes to complete that round. That's called machine gun chanting. You have something called radar chanting. And this is the problem. This radar chanting. So you are chanting and, okay, fine. This is just chanting in the hall and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You have a cell phone, and then Hare Ram, Hare Ram. You are seeing WhatsApp, some message. Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So what's this? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. You are just everywhere. Just inspecting everything. Your radar is not fixed. It's just here and there. It's simply inattentive. And then you have something, electric shock chanting. You know this? People are... If you go to Vrindavan, in Prabhupada's room, you'll find, you can't even sit with that devotee. And it goes like this. You just walk in and devotee chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So suddenly, they'll chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. What's happening? Something is happening. I don't know why they do like that, but they do like that. And then it's can't chanting. And this we all do. Sometimes we are in hurry and I don't have my beads, so it's like do you have a bead pack? I just, yeah. Can you give me this? Just a minute, I'll just show. Oh yeah. okay. So this is can chanting, like, so chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, and you see, oh, it's just 2 minutes. I have to finish it. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna. You're just watching, you know, where to finish. Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like, the idea is don't do all these kind of chanting. Don't mess up with chanting. Thank you. Sorry for that. So, don't mess up with chanting. If you mess up with chanting, Krishna will mess up with you. That's all. It's like that. If you try to finish chanting, Krishna will finish you. And it's not a joke. In fact, if you try to finish chanting, it's a clear-cut offense. You're trying not to focus on the holy names. You're trying to play a game with Krishna. Krishna will start playing a game with you. Don't do this. You can spend a little time more, but chant properly. That's all. Chant properly. If you feel sleepy, okay, I'll talk about that. Then, no problem. Take a little sleep and then, no problem. Chant properly. That's the idea there. Don't fall into this trap. If you want to chant properly, I'll talk about all these things later, yeah. But I'm not advising this chanting, don't do this. This is a type of chanting we should not be doing. Okay. So first, chanting is the most important duty for all of us. You know why? Because Srila Prabhupada says chanting is the most important duty. And here Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela Purport. It's shifted, I don't know why. Chaitanya Charita Madhya Leela Purport. This is the Jagannath Prabhu, this is PDF of PowerPoint. This is PDF of PowerPoint. No, I'm asking is this PDF of PowerPoint? Okay. I don't know why it's shifted. Okay. So Jiva Prabhupada says chanting is the most important duty. Prabhupada quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Jiva Goswami states in his book Bhakti Sandarbh, यद्यपि अन्य भक्ति कलाव कर्तव्य तदा संकीर्तनाख्य भक्ति संयोग नैव. Out of the 9 process of devotional service, kirtan is very important. Jiva Goswami therefore instructs that other process such as archan, vandan, dasyam, sakhyam should be executed, but they must be preceded and followed by kirtan. It's very important. Any limb you practice of devotion, Prabhupada is saying, whether deity worship, whether cooking, whether cleaning floor, it should be preceded and followed by chanting the holy names. And that's what we do. Prabhupada made a system. When there's puja, we have to chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? There's a system like this. When you're cooking, you should be chanting. You see, archan, aarti, bhog offering, deity dressing, decoration, all are preceded and followed by chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. See, chanting is the most important duty. All limbs, any limb you practice. We have 9 limbs of devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmane, Vedanam. There's so many things we are doing. Everything should be associated with chanting. Now the question is why? Why should we associate everything with chanting? Why chanting is the most important duty in this age? What's so important in chanting? Why can't we just do deity worship? Why can't we just offer bhoga to Krishna? Are these limbs not complete? Or is it we have to chant to complete these names? Why chanting is the most important duty? Can anybody tell me? Why? Why is that? Because preparation for? Well, if you do DT worship, will it not prepare you? And this is also Krishna. Doesn't matter. Why? That's my question. That is the question. I mean to say, there has to be a reason to recommend it. Anyone can do, anyone can eat prasadam also. And prasadam is Krishna. We say this is Krishna. So, that's okay. Anyone can sweep the floor also.
You can chant 24 hours.
You can also eat 24 hours. In the West, you can do that. Okay. You can also practice smaranam. Smaranam, remembering, that's also limp. For smaranam, you don't even need a tongue. You don't need even ears. You just have to close eyes and smaranam. But yet, smaranam is not the most important limb. In fact, one of the disciples, contemporary of Srinivas Acharya, his name was Rup Kaviraj. Contemporary of him, he came up with a philosophy that chanting is not important. Remembrance is more important than chanting, because remembrance is easy. You can remember in your mind. You don't even have to move the tongue. He said, okay, initially you might chant because you can't remember. Isn't it difficult to remember always? So you chant, and by chanting you practice remembrance. When you attain the stage of remembrance, leave chanting. That was his philosophy, dangerous philosophy. Srinivas Acharya's daughter, Hemlata Thakurani, she just refuted this philosophy, by the way. But he wrote a big book. That book is still available. I read that book. It's this much thick book. This thick. In Sanskrit. And he's just giving quotations from everywhere. And he's proved with evidences that smaranam is the highest limb. But that's wrong. That's wrong. Acharya has refuted it. No, what do you say about that? It makes sense? Okay. So this is my anti-argument for your argument now. So what do you say? My chanting is most important. We all know chanting is most important, but why? That's the question.
It's also important to speak to the Lord all the time.
Gopis are always remembering also. Sometimes gopis are not even chanting. They are just sitting. That's all. In spiritual world, nobody is chanting with the mala. It's not there. It's all absolute there.
This is the process that was given to us by Lord.
Yeah, why? Why? That's the point. Lord doesn't do.
Our mind. Practice of mind.
Yeah, everything is to do with. Okay, yeah.
So if you want to do other processes, then you always have to hear. If you want to do deity worship, you have to hear how to do it. If you want to remember, then you have to hear.
So chanting? Chanting also, at least first you have to hear to chant.
Yeah.
So that's remembering also. You just hear and start remembering.
No, first you have to hear to chant and then you start chanting.
Oh, okay. Okay. Makes little sense.
When you chant, you don't have much opportunity to do some other nonsense.
Come on. Hearing all kind of nonsense in our mind when you are chanting. Nobody even knows that. That's dangerous, you know. While you're doing deity worship, you can't do any kind of nonsense because people can see. While chanting, you can do anything in the world and nobody can see and you can escape.
Can I have a second one? Is this related to our goal to be engaged with
the
Radha Krishna?
Not clear. Not exact, yeah. Yeah.
Chanting, yes. Three of these nine processes.
That you can argue with every limb. Every limb has all processes included, by the way. Every limb, if you practice nicely. That's a philosophy. Prabhupada says you practice any limb, it will make you perfect, isn't it? Nectar devotion? Because every limb can lead to all limbs. But still chanting is most important. Yeah, Prabhu, you can say, and then I'll. You want to say something?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Chanting engages our body,
Yeah, but then remembering is also chanting. You remember Krishna and you remember His holy name, that's equally. You chant His names in your mind.
You remind others when
you chant. Oh. Then you do deity worship, you remind others that this is Krishna. You see, okay, I'll tell you. Chanting is most important duty due to four reasons. And the first reason is, chanting destroys sins and especially the offenses against the Lord. Now that's interesting point, because in any other limb of devotion, there are offenses. We will make offenses, definitely. Consciously or unconsciously, because we are not trained, isn't it? We'll do something, some kind of mistakes and faults. That's obvious. In deity worship, in cooking, in chanting, in everything. But then how to nullify those offenses? That can only be done by chanting. Offenses against deities, offenses against... especially deities. Rupa Goswami gives a verse. If you do offense against deities, you simply say, Govinda, Govinda. You go to... Have you gone to South India, anybody? South India? You've gone? If you go to temples, people take darshan, and if they have some fault, they will do Govinda, Govinda like that. I don't know, you might have seen. So the idea is, if you do an offense against deities, it can be counteracted by chanting the holy names. So chanting the holy names nullifies the offenses which are done in any of the limbs of devotion. Now the question is, why? Why is that? Why does chanting nullify all the offenses? That's the question. So what's the answer? Here's the answer. This Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 6th chapter, 33rd verse, purport. And this quotation, I'll quote it again. This quotation, this Prabhupada speaks just once in all his books, all his conversations. He never repeats this line. Never. But this is the most important statement we have to understand in chanting. And I'll quote it again, because this statement has three meanings, three layers of meanings. And we need to understand it properly. And it's a very interesting statement. Prabhupada says, it is natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories. That is natural instinct, and the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology. You see? So if I chant your names, you will be so happy, isn't it? Anybody, I mean to say. So if I keep on chanting, Jagannath Sutta, Jagannath Sutta, Jagannath Sutta. See, he's already smiling. Just I chanted three times. It gives us happiness. Prabhupada is making the point. And this tendency of being happy when somebody chants a name, it's coming from Krishna, because everything is coming from Krishna. So when you chant Krishna's name, he becomes happy automatically. And when he becomes happy, then what happens? In happy mood, what do people do? People forgive. Isn't it? It's like that, no? If you have authority and his mood is off, even if you are doing everything correct, he'll get on your case. It's like that? And if your authority, his mood is good, even if you do false, okay, no problem. We'll see later. So chanting nullifies offenses by making Krishna happy. He becomes extremely happy when you chant his names. And in that extreme happiness, he forgives. Okay, fine. You do some mistake? Okay. I'm happy. That's okay. You see the point? There is a point in that. And the example given is, if a king goes to some other state and he wins that place and he loots that place and gets all the ornaments and everything of that kingdom, come back to a kingdom, and he's so happy, he wins everything, he has so much treasure, he comes on his elephant and all the his subjects come, and then what he does? He just takes and throws, you know, isn't it? Coins and ornaments, okay, take it, today no rules, just take, I'm so happy, I won that kingdom. No rules. When you're happy, then there are no rules, isn't it? And if there are no rules, there's no judgment. There's no judgment, no offense is considered. Everything is off. So that's the idea there. That is why the first reason chanting is most important, because chanting helps to nullify offenses. in any limb, and that's the mechanism how it does. And the second is, chanting helps solve doubts in philosophy. That's very important. This is from one of the letters to Jayapadaka Maharaj, 1975. Srila Prabhupada says, if chanting and following the regulations are done sincerely without offenses, all questions and doubtful points in philosophy will be cleared up by realization of Krishna from within the heart of a devotee. Now this is a very important statement. You know why? You might say, I don't need chanting to solve my doubts. I can just read books, I can take more knowledge and chant, solve my doubts, isn't it? Somebody can propose that. I'll not chant, I'll simply do more research, read more books and solve all my doubts. Now, why are you saying chanting is required to solve doubts in philosophy? That can also be done by knowledge and more reading. But Prabhupada says no. Chanting is required to solve doubts. Now, why does Prabhupada say this? Why knowledge is not sufficient to solve all doubts? That's the question. You understand the question? You understand the question, all of you? Okay. Why knowledge is not sufficient to clear all doubts in philosophy? You need chanting to solve doubts. Why is that? Okay. Chanting brings a realization? But can you clear your statement? Chanting brings a realization. You have to define more. Like, how does that clear up the doubts? That's the question. That's explain. Like,
maybe because chanting is so favorable to Lord Krishna, and he is the living being, the Paramatma. So everything comes when you please him. It comes.
No,
from
no. That's my argument. That you can take more knowledge and clear up your doubts. Even by knowledge you can get realizations, isn't it? If you read again and again Bhagavatam, you get realizations. We get, no? So why do you need chanting? Somebody can argue like that. There are some people who argue like that. They don't chant in Vrindavan. There are some sects of upper sampradaya, and they say no need of chanting. You simply read Bhagavatam, meditate on that knowledge, this pure knowledge, and all your doubts will be solved. Why do you need chanting? So what do you do with that?
Doubts are a consequence of impure desire. So chanting helps us
purify. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you can get like this. Yeah, I mean to say, you're not exact to the point. You're all answering, but it's like going around the point. You see, I'll tell you. There are two reasons why you need to chant, and knowledge is not sufficient to clear up doubts. The first reason is, Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charita Purports, that when you read philosophy, you will inevitably fall into doubts, no matter how much intelligent you are, no matter how much knowledgeable you are. Why? Because Krishna has a contradictory nature. You can't avoid contradiction. The more close you go to Krishna, the more contradiction you will find. Because Krishna is like that. He is like that. Krishna is a small baby, but Yashoda cannot tie, isn't it? He has a whole universe in his belly. So, even if you are super intelligent, you can't figure that out by your intelligence, by no amount of knowledge, because that's the nature of the object. There are contradictions. And to solve these contradictions, you need chanting. If you have to solve contradictions which are inherent in Krishna, Krishna has to reveal that to you. There is no other way to solve that. And because by chanting, Krishna becomes supremely happy, just I told. Because by chanting, you can avoid all offenses. He's very happy, isn't it, by chanting? So in his happiness, he reveals himself. He reveals the solutions and harmonization of that contradictions. And that is why we need chanting to solve doubts. Because those contradictions are beyond human calculation. You understand the point? That's the first reason. And the second reason is that some answers Krishna has blocked. It is for intelligence it is inaccessible. He has blocked that. Whatever you try, you will not be able to penetrate. For example, holy name and Krishna is one. Isn't it? You can hear that. But you can't understand that by intelligence. It's blocked. After that, what do you do? Krishna's name and Krishna is one. By what kind of knowledge can you solve this dilemma? We can't understand that. So, at a particular point, some things are blocked. After that, Krishna has to reveal that to you. And that is technically called as Adhokshach platform. Prabhupada speaks this in one of his lectures. And can you tell, why does Krishna block us at particular level? Why does he block our intelligence? Beyond that, our intelligence cannot go. Some answers he has to give. Why Krishna does like that? He is so most merciful, he should give everything. But no, he blocks that. You can never understand. Why Krishna plays flute? Why not a guitar? What's the answer? That's blocked. You can't know. It's humanly accessible. He blocks that? He blocks? No, I'm talking about devotees. Now, devotees' desire is to know him, but still it's blocked. You know why? To give us the quality of being dependent on him. Otherwise, we'll never understand what's dependence. We'll always try to attain him by our efforts, by independent efforts. He says no. Ultimately, you have to be dependent on me to attain me. If you want to know me, that's through me. Your efforts are not sufficient. Ultimately, you need my grace. You see the point? He's helping us to learn dependence. And that is why Krishna doesn't give every quality to all devotees. He gives different devotees different qualities. You know why? To help us to learn how to be dependent on others. That's why. Then we learn, okay, we have to be dependent on this devotee, and we learn obedience, we learn humbleness, we learn dependence. And that is, independent nature is only blocking us to go to spiritual world, isn't it? That he has to rectify. So Krishna revealing us knowledge is his mercy, and Krishna not revealing knowledge, that is also his mercy. Because by not revealing everything, he makes us dependent on him. You understand? So, that's the second reason. It helps solve doubts in philosophy. Third reason is, chanting is gateway to remembrance. This is very... Prabhupada says in Bhagavata Purport, the word smaranam is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for an impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. You see, remembrance anyway you can't practice because we are impure. Therefore, one should constantly, instantly chant Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram. Because chanting will help you to remember God. Because we can't remember now, our mind is like crazy. Chanting will force you to remember him, isn't it? Out of 16 rounds, at least one round you'll remember him. If not all 16 rounds. Something. So Prabhupada calls chanting as forced meditation. In one of his lectures he says that. It is forced meditation. Generally we call chanting as sound meditation. It's like that, no? Generally when we do seminars, mantra meditation. You write that? Prabhupada says forced meditation. we can do a seminar on in youths, forced meditation. What's this? It will be interesting, you know. Okay. These are three reasons that chanting is important. And the fourth reason, I'll talk about that later, but yeah, here's the fourth reason. Chanting strengthens the soul. Now, that's very important concept. This is from Bhagavad Gita purport, by the way. The Prabhupada writes, but even though soul is the master of intelligence and mind, and the senses also, still unless it is strengthened by association with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, there is every chance of falling down due to agitated mind. Which is this verse? Can anybody tell? 3.42? 3.42, which is this verse? Huh? Yeah. So what's that verse? 3.42?
Hmm?
No, yeah, yeah. But that's the previous verse. This is the difference. Yeah. Of course, that verse is in this section. But what is this verse? You know this, everybody. Indrani parani ahur, indrevya paramana, manasastu para buddhir para sastu visa. That there are senses, above senses mind, above mind is intelligence, above intelligence is soul. That's hierarchy. Krishna speaks about that. Why Krishna speaks about that? There is a very important understanding in that. Now we have senses, above that sense is mind, above mind is intelligence, above mind intelligence is soul. We are made up of that, isn't it? But the point is, Krishna says in that section, lust resides. Lust can attack any of these. If you have an enemy, enemy will find the weakest point and attack there. That's the strategy of fighting. You know this, no? War. When there's a war, you find the weakest point and attack there. And then you enter the enemy. Isn't it? So, Maya will try to attack the weakest point. We have four gates. Imagine there's a city in us. We have four gates by which Maya can enter. One is senses, one is mind, one is intelligence, one is our own soul. Any of these become weak, Maya will attack and we'll fall down. So that is why Srila Prabhupada says we have to strengthen all the gates. We have to strengthen our mind, senses, intelligence. But Prabhupada says unless soul is not strengthened by association with Krishna. Association with Krishna means chanting, isn't it? We associate with Krishna by chanting. The most nearest and important association is chanting. Unless soul is not strengthened by chanting, no matter your mind, senses, intelligence is strengthened, you will fall down. Now here is a question. How do you strengthen your senses? By renunciation. Renunciation will strengthen your senses. Rules and regulations will strengthen your mind. Philosophy will strengthen your intelligence. And chanting will strengthen your soul. So that is why you need all these four in Krishna consciousness. Any lack in any of these four areas will fall down. And that is why Prabhupada made a system where we have all these four things, isn't it? Prabhupada gave us four regulations. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. That is renunciation. Prabhupada gave us rules and regulations, a system, Mangalarti and this. Prabhupada gave us philosophy and chanting. Now here's a question. How does renunciation strengthen senses? Or what do you mean by strengthening senses? That's another question. How does renunciation make your senses strong? Yeah, that's... But you have to explain your answer. That's not a... What do you mean by purify senses? Yeah, you can explain purify senses. But how does renunciation purify senses? That's... You need to link. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Renunciation brings sense control, isn't it? Renunciation of objects will increase your service attitude in senses. The more renunciation in devotion is renunciation of everything which blocks service. Renunciation in devotion is not renunciation of everything, isn't it? For jnanis and yogis, renunciation is renunciation of eating and everything. But for devotees, it's not like that. Devotees is, we don't renounce things, we renounce those things and those ideas which are blocking us in service. That's all. So when you renounce those things which block you in service, your enthusiasm to serve increases. Because all those things are gone. It doesn't pull you down. So renunciation strengthens senses by giving enthusiasm to serve. Senses become strong and enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Because all the obstacles are gone. Isn't it? So renunciation strengthens senses by enthusiasm. You understand? Rules and regulations strengthens mind. Why? Because the nature of mind is to accept and reject. You know this, no? It accepts and rejects. Mind will like something and at another time it rejects something. So, rules and regulations will give a limit to mind. Okay, mind, you cannot do this and you can do this. It will set a limits. So mind is controlled. So rules and regulations strengthens the mind by giving limits. by giving mental control, control to mind. Isn't it? You getting my point? So mind becomes focused. A focused mind has strength. It's not doing this and this, accepting, rejecting, accepting, rejecting. Oh, I like to go to temple. No, I don't like to temple. I like to eat this. I don't like to do this. That's all. Rules and regulations strengthen minds by giving mental control and focus. Philosophy strengthens intelligence by giving power to discriminate. Intelligence function is discrimination. What is right, what is wrong? Philosophy will give you that power to discriminate, a knowledge to discriminate. This is right, this is wrong. Okay? This is it, good? So now you have to fill in the blank. So the idea is renunciation strengthens senses by... Just repeat what I told you. Mm-hmm. By increasing the enthusiasm, isn't it? By giving enthusiasm to serve. Okay. Rules and regulations strengthen the mind by giving control and focus of mind. Philosophy strengthens intelligence by... Hey, what happened to your your understanding or like? Discrimination. Everybody's not speaking. That's the point. Okay, discrimination. And chanting sentence the soul by dash. That you have to figure out. How does it do that? I can't hear it. What you're saying? Remember Krishna? Not exactly. It's not exactly remember. Not exactly. There's a word. You have to come to that word. What is the nature of soul? Tell me. And then you will be able to figure out. Okay. Nature of soul is serving. Nature of soul is... Serving is the activity of soul. But the nature of soul is to become attracted. The nature of God is to attract. The nature of soul is to become attracted. And because nature of soul is to become attracted towards God, that is why the activity of soul is to serve Him. You see? And because we don't know Krishna, like many people in this world, they don't know Krishna, so the soul is getting attracted to whatever object is there in front of it. It's like that. Whatever thing you have, even if it is the most nonsense thing, after something you will start becoming attracted to it. Isn't it? It will happen like that. If you don't like, suppose you don't like, what should I say? Like, so as a devotee, we don't eat omelets, you know. Omelet? You have omelet here? Eggs. You don't eat eggs. Now, suppose you start... Now, if you eat egg, you will vomit, isn't it? It's so bad. Now, we don't like eggs. We can't tolerate it. Now, suppose you start doing experiment. You start eating eggs. Now, one day you will eat egg, you will vomit. Definitely. After many years, you can't. You can't tolerate it. Second day, third day, fourth day. After a week, you will start liking it. You will see that. Automatically. Because whatever object you present to soul, soul has a tendency to become attracted to it. Naturally, after some time. That is why we have to be careful, because whatever thing you come in association with for a long time, you will start become attracted. No matter it's the worst thing. That's the nature of soul. And if you present Krishna to soul, then it can't help being attracted to Krishna, because that's what soul wants. That object is perfect. And that's what soul is looking for. To become attracted to Krishna. But that's... We don't have knowledge. So that's the nature of soul, to become attracted. Now chanting strengthens the soul by giving taste of Krishna. And once Krishna... Once soul has taste of Krishna, it starts becoming attracted to Krishna, because it finds that taste is much superior to any other taste which she is getting in this material world. That's why Krishna says, by experiencing higher taste, leave the lower taste. So it's a question of taste. Chanting strengthens the soul by giving taste. And even if you have renunciation, rules, regulations, philosophy, but if you don't have a taste for Krishna consciousness, you will fall down. We all understand that. We'll fall down. How much long we can go just by philosophy, rules and regulations and renunciation, it will not help. We should have some taste. Little bit. And that taste has to increase. Otherwise we'll go down. That is why our whole philosophy is based on taste and mellows and rasas. That's a science. So that's very important. That's why we chant, to get a taste of Krishna. Taste of His form, qualities, name, His nature, His desires, His perfection. If you get a taste of perfection, you will never be attracted to anything in this material world, because we want perfect things. And now you've got something perfect. Why do you want something imperfect? Mind will not go anywhere. So that's how chanting strengthens the soul. So you remember this. It's such a nice thing. So people ask, what's the... some people don't read philosophy. They say, no problem. But then your intelligence will become weak. And Maya will attack that. Some people are loose in rules and regulations. Say, okay, fine. No problem, rules and regulations. Little we can lax and compromise now. Everything should be perfect. Because Krishna consciousness is a package. Everything has a role at different levels. You can't afford to delete or compromise in any of these four areas. That is why if you read Prabhupada's books and lectures, he's emphasizing on all these four, isn't it? Prabhupada says, follow rules and regulations like military law. Prabhupada says, don't be lazy in understanding philosophy. Prabhupada says, and four regulative principles, don't disobey that, don't break those rules, the renunciation part. And of course chanting, Prabhupada gives so much importance to chanting, so that's the idea there. So chanting strengthens soul, that is why, because of these four reasons, chanting is the most important duty. Chanting helps avoid offenses. Chanting is, what's the next, you remember? Oh, you forget by... Okay, come on. After seminar, you'll forget. The question is, why chanting is the most important duty? I gave four reasons for that. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so chanting helps to destroy offenses. Chanting nourishes smaranam, that is, it's a gateway to remembrance. And chanting strengthens the soul. So we have four reasons for that. Okay. Chanting is the best service to God. Okay. Can you tell why chanting is the best service? Why is the best service? We all know it's the best service, but why? Now, okay, here's the quotation from Prabhupada, Bhagavatam class, Bombay, 1974. Prabhupada says, he's offering prayer, my dear Lord, son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna accepted the sonhood of Mother Yashoda Nanda Maharaj. So he's very much pleased if anyone addresses Krishna as son of Vasudev or Vasudev. Vasudev means son of Vasudev, and if someone addresses him Yashoda Nandan, Braja Jana Ranjan, he's very happy, because when you address Krishna in relationship with his pure devotee, he is nice, he's very happy. You see, when you chant Krishna, he is happy. But when you chant Hare Krishna, he is more happy, because you are relating Krishna with Radha. Now chanting is the best service, because any other service you do, attention of Krishna is coming on you. You understand? If you are cleaning the floor, his attention is coming on you. If you are doing deity worship, you are just standing in front of him, he is just seeing you directly. And if Krishna's attention comes on you, he is kind, but if you do some mess up, then after some time, he starts judging. Because sometimes we forget chanting also, we don't chant properly, isn't it? So there's a problem there. So, but chanting is the best service, because when you chant, Krishna's attention comes on you. You're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna starts, oh, who is chanting in Slovenia, who is chanting my name? In this crazy Kali Yuga. So okay, Krishna's attention comes on you chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna starts to go in that devotee. But then you're chanting Hare Krishna. So what happens? Krishna starts remembering Radha. His attention diverts from you to Radharani. And he starts thinking of his most dear devotee. So by chanting, you divert your attention of Krishna's attention from you to his pure devotees. That's what Prabhupada says. When you address Krishna in relationship with pure devotee, he's very happy. Already he is very happy when you chant his name. But when you make him remember his devotees, he becomes extremely happy. And his attention is not on you, now on his pure devotees. And that's what we want. We want his extreme happiness. And that is service. The end of service is pleasure of God. That's what I talked yesterday. The end of service is to make Krishna extremely happy and not just happy. Isn't it? Ordinary services make Krishna happy. Extraordinary services will make him extraordinarily happy. So all services make Krishna happy, okay. But not as happy as chanting. Because in chanting, you are making him remember his pure devotees. In any other service, you are making him remember a relationship between you and him. But we are not perfect. So he is happy, but okay. Fine. That's fine. So that's the idea. So that is why chanting is the best service. Best. In chanting, you make him remember his devotees. And he's very happy. And that is why there is unlimited mercy in chanting, because he becomes extremely happy. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar. Why did Krishna take form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because, you know what? Chanting makes him remember about Radharani, isn't it? I told. And he becomes very happy, and then he gives mercy. Extreme mercy. But then, he saw in Kali Yuga, people can't even chant. They can't even make him remember about his pure devotees. They're simply interested in themselves. So what is happening is, so Krishna told, okay, fine. I will take mood of Radharani. I will make myself happy. Now they don't know how to make me happy. I will make myself happy. To extend mercy. Because when Krishna takes the mood of Radha, he becomes extremely happy. And then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Yogyata ayogyata na karha vichar. And when any sinful person comes in front of Lord Chaitanya, he simply embraces, because he's intoxicated by happiness. He can't see who is there in front of him. He's unqualified, qualified, you don't know. When a person is intoxicated by alcohol, he doesn't know who is there in front of him. He can't understand. So in form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna loses the power of discrimination. He's out of his mind. Let's say like that. And he does that to extend mercy. He's always thinking how to extend mercy. He can go to any extent to give us mercy. He can do anything. He can, if required, he can even kill himself to extend mercy to us. But of course, he can't kill himself. But then to give us mercy, he abandoned Radharani. Isn't it? To give us mercy, he abandoned Sita. If Ram would not have abandoned Sita, there would have been no Ramayana. If there was no Ramayana, we don't know what is Maryada. Nobody learns what is Maryada, isn't it? He abandons his love to extend mercy. To abandon your love is worse than killing yourself. Isn't it? That's worse than death. Krishna does that. So that is what Krishna does in form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is why when we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, we can easily enter chanting. That's why we chant first Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya and all these things. And that's the science of Lord Chaitanya's avatars. But anyway, that's why chanting is a best service. Best service to Lord. Now remember, the aim of chanting is remembrance. The aim of chanting is not happiness and bliss. Don't confuse. When you chant nicely and you feel happy, don't feel your chanting has become perfect. No. It's better than, of course, it's chanting. If you chant and if you feel happiness, it's much better than chanting with absolute frustration. and burden. But that's not the desired goal. You are not still perfect. You are not seeking for happiness and bliss. Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, as soon as you chant Hare Krishna, immediately remember Krishna. Krishna's form, fighting, Krishna sitting on chariot. If you read Krishna book always, you see, I told yesterday. If you read Krishna book always, if you don't read Krishna book, you'll never remember Krishna. It's not going to happen. Some of his pastimes will immediately come, appear in my brain immediately, as soon as you chant Hare Krishna. That is required, smaranam, automatically. Bliss and happiness are effects. Let me say, bliss and happiness and peace, what you experience in chanting, those are side effects of chanting. They are not even effects, they are side effects. I'll quote Prabhupada after this. They are not the goal of chanting. Why are we chanting? To attain love of God. That's a goal, isn't it? But before attaining love of God, there are some immediate goals. There is a long-term goal. Immediate goal is to remember Him. Kirtana prabhave smarana hove se kale nirjana bhajana sambhav. Bhakti Siddhanta says, when by pure chanting you start remembering God, by kirtanam you come to the stage of smaranam as a goal of chanting, then you can understand you are advancing, otherwise not. Bliss and happiness are side effects, isn't it? For attaining bliss and happiness, you don't need any qualification. If you put your hand in fire, what happens? Prabhupada gives an example, no? Hand burns. Even if you are qualified, if you are not qualified. Similarly, when you chant, you will experience happiness, even if you are complete nonsense. No, that's the nature of holy names. If you enter ocean, what happens? You become wet. That's the nature of water. If you put your hand in fire, your hand burns. That's the nature of fire. If you chant holy names, you get happiness and bliss. That's the nature of holy names. That you will have. But that's not the goal of chanting. Goal of chanting is remembrance. That is why when you become happy while chanting, don't forget to cry. You understand? That's the problem there. When we become happy while chanting, we are trapped. That's a trap of Maya, a big trap. And you will not be able to understand that. Maya will not do anything. You know what? Maya doesn't bother for us. Because Maya doesn't need to make us fall down. Because we are sufficient to make us fall down ourselves. We are so stupid. You say, okay, let's forget them. She will not block you. She will allow you to experience bliss. Okay, experience bliss and happiness, no problem. She will not come in way. But she knows when you experience bliss and happiness, you will forget the goal. You will forget the goal. Because you will say, now everything is going nice, I am happy, I am satisfied. Okay, good. Your urge to attain Him will just wipe off. That is why it is said, you will no longer cry for Krishna, isn't it? Because you're happy. Everything becomes okay. Now I have no problems. That is why it is said, Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says there's a small technique to attain God. Learn to cry, isn't it? In Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, and don't stop crying until you remember Him while chanting. From name comes form, from form comes quality, from quality comes pastimes. Until this happens, you have to request Krishna and pray to Him, please reveal yourself. I am not satisfied with this bliss. I am not satisfied with this happiness. I want to see your pastimes and have a glimpse of that. That's what we want, isn't it? While chanting. Otherwise, what you're chanting, it's just blank. Just dark. But we get trapped into that. So don't get trapped into that. That's why I say, even if you feel happiness while chanting, don't forget to cry. Let happiness come. That's okay. Use that happiness to chant more. Don't fall trapped to that happiness and block your chanting by yourself. Don't do that. Develop an urge to attain perfection. Till the time you attain perfection, don't be so much overwhelmed by bliss, peace and satisfaction. Those are very small things. We are not here to get happiness. That's not the teaching of our mission. That might be teaching of somebody else. Our mission is not to get happiness in this material world or peace or bliss. Our mission is to go back to Him and serve Him. We are His servants. Even if we become the most miserable in His service, that's accepted. So you see the point. But nevertheless, when you come in contact with Krishna, you will automatically become happy. You can't help becoming happy. Because that's the nature of Krishna. And that's impossible. It's impossible to be sad and be in contact with Krishna. That's impossible. Just like it is impossible to be dry in an ocean. That's impossible. So, remember, aim of chanting is remembering God. Remembering His name, form, qualities. If that's not happening, we are way behind in chanting. At least this is the short-term goal. Then comes love of God. This is the first milestone. When this comes, then love of God comes. But if this is not there, then forget love of God. Forget it. Forget that. Finish. Before death, we have to attain these milestones. So please remember this. Okay, good chanting leads to more chanting and service. Okay, till the time we don't get remembrance of Krishna, while chanting, we also have to understand whether I'm chanting properly or not, isn't it? Because remembrance will come after some time. It doesn't appear so quickly, remembrance of God. Spontaneous remembrance. So how do I know that my chanting is good? How do I know I'm approaching the goal of remembrance? By this. If your chanting is good, you will feel to chant more, isn't it? And you'll be enthusiastic to serve Krishna. That's what Prabhupada says in this lecture. I shall serve Krishna. That is the effect. Anyway, yeah. So you can read this quotation. So you remember, so you see, when you are chanting, what you are looking for in yourself? You are looking for an enthusiasm to chant more. You are looking for an enthusiasm to serve. You are looking for remembrance of God while chanting. This is what you are looking for in your chanting. If this is happening, your chanting is good. If this is not happening, you are doing something else. You are not chanting. But you are not looking for peace, satisfaction and happiness. That's not the parameter. But generally we judge our chanting by this. And that's a trap. That's an illusion. Don't do that. That's an illusion. It's good to be happy, but that's not the parameter. Remember, that's not the thermometer. Be happy, no problem. But that's not the thermometer. Don't judge your chanting by that. That's not how we judge our chanting. Okay? Do not chant fast and in mind. Remember this. Prabhupada says in one of his letters, 1972, concentrate fully on sound vibration of the mantra, pronouncing each name distinctively. And gradually your speed of chanting will increase naturally. So that's what I told. Do not chant machine gun chanting. Do not chant electric shock chanting. Don't do that. Prabhupada says naturally it will happen. Do not worry so much about chanting fast. Most important is hearing. Well, you might have heard chanting of Prabhupada, isn't it? Prabhupada chants in morning very fast. Isn't it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. It's, you sometimes feel Prabhupada is skipping, isn't it? Sometimes feel that. But Prabhupada is chanting very fast. But Prabhupada says that will come automatically. We are not here to imitate Him. There is a, Srimad Bhagavatam says, you should do what great people say and do. But you should not do what great people do and do not say. You remember? You understand? Because that's imitation. Imitation means doing something what great people do, but they don't say that, but they're doing. And following means you do what they do and say. That's following. You got my point? Isn't it? Just like Krishna is doing Ras Leela. Well, Krishna doesn't tell us to do Ras Leela, so We don't do Rasleela. But if you start doing Rasleela, that's imitating. But Krishna is doing Rasleela, and Krishna tells us, you control your senses. And he also disappears from Rasleela to show us what is renunciation. So Krishna does that and say that. The renunciation part, what Krishna does in Rasleela and say to us, that we do. So that's following. But the enjoying part with gopis in Rasleela, that Krishna does but doesn't tell us. So we don't do that. There's a difference between imitation and following. Prabhupada chants fast, but he doesn't tell us to chant fast. So don't do that. That's all. Finish. We are not supposed to. That, because that's then imitation. Imitating, that's not following. That's anukaran, not anusaran. It's clear. Don't chant fast and don't chant in your mind. Other tips of chanting is, it's not necessary to sit and chant. Nobody said to sit and chant. Of course, there's just one place Prabhupada says, sit properly. Isn't it? Morning there? every time. But that doesn't mean Prabhupada is advocating sitting and chanting. That's a logical fallacy, isn't it? If somebody somebody might be sitting in an awkward position, Prabhupada says sit properly, but that doesn't mean automatically you have to sit and chant. If somebody is standing improperly and you tell him, stand properly and chant, does it mean we are advocating that you should stand and chant? No. In fact, Prabhupada was himself standing and chanting in so many videos. He's walking and chanting. Bhakti Siddhanta used to walk and chant in his Gaudiya Math, in gallery. Bhakti Vinod Thakur every day, 2 hours in the evening, he used to walk in the park and chant. There is no restriction of sitting. There is nothing like that. No acharya is said to sit and chant. At least our Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas. In fact, no acharya. In fact, Vedanta Sutra says, there is a sutra. In what position you should chant? There is a question there. And the answer is, mano anukulanam eva. In that position, where your mind is favorable for chanting. That's all. If your mind is fixed on chanting, sit. If you feel your mind is fixed while chanting when you lie down. If you feel your mind is fixed while chanting when you stand upside down, whatever. Whatever. It should be favorable for your mind. It's not necessary to sit. There is no, if you read any Prabhupada books, Prabhupada never says you should just sit and chant. Never. Have you found? I have not found, in fact. No, neither Bhakti Siddhanta says, neither Bhakti Vinod Thakur, because Prabhupada was himself standing and chanting. So that's the idea. If you sit and feel sleepy, stand and chant. If you stand and feel sleepy, then walk and chant. If you walk and feel sleepy, then start running and chant. And if you run and feel sleepy, then you're running and still feeling sleepy.
Then go sleep,
yeah. Go and sleep, yeah, and chant. So, I mean to say, in ISKCON, you know, so many people say so many things, this and that, sit and chant, back straight, and then come on. Where did Prabhupada say, you tell? And then we can do that. Prabhupada never says that. And even neither scripture says that. It's not necessary. Otherwise you waste your time. Okay, never sleep while chanting, that I told. Sleeping while chanting is the worst offense you can do. You know why? Because sleeping while chanting is like, you call your friend, hey, so my dear Tom, please come to my house. He comes to your house and he sits in your drawing room and you go to sleep. What's happening? That's chanting is inviting Lord, isn't it? You're inviting him in your heart. Chanting is like a meeting. It's like a meeting. You are in a meeting with God. You don't realize that, but Krishna knows that. We are so dull and so dead, we don't realize it. But chanting is meeting Krishna face to face. Now, you can't afford to sleep in that, because that's the worst offense you can do. You call Krishna and then you go to sleep. So don't do that. So whatever it takes, don't sleep. And if you feel super sleepy, sleep. That's what you can do. That's all. Do not be distracted while chanting. I wrote this because generally devotees are getting a bad habit all over the world to keep their cell phones with them and keep on seeing in between WhatsApp, Facebook, some messages and It's very bad habit. So if you have to chant, first lock up your phone somewhere. Because if you have devil in your pocket, you can't chant. That's all. Phone is the house of Satan. That's all. There's internet, email and all these things. So you can't escape from this. In fact, some sannyasis have fallen down in a moment because of internet. Be careful of that. Be careful. It's a big addiction. Email is a big addiction. You get emails, that's okay. You have to answer them. But you have to have some kind of plan to answer them. You can't keep on answering like whole day, you know. You get mad. You can never focus on Krishna. After every half an hour you get a mail and start, then what? It doesn't happen like that. After some time, WhatsApp, Facebook, that's an addiction. Don't go on that. Avoid that. Until unless it's important for our service, that's another thing. Otherwise it's becoming a big problem in ISKCON with devotees. I've seen that. And so please be careful. That's a big distraction. So when you chant, at least get rid of your phone. Do that. So if you have a locker, lock that your locker. Give key to somebody and tell them, you give me after 2 hours. Something you have to do, because you can't say, okay, I have my phone in my pocket and I will not look at it. It will never happen. Someday or the other you will just take out and do something and mess up your time. Don't get distracted. Sometimes chant more. That's very important. Sometimes we chant. Many times, you know, in ISKCON, you chant 16 rounds and then I'm done. That's not a good policy. If you have time, there are many services. Services are required. You do that. If you have time, sometimes chant more. Chanting more is a good habit. Isn't it? So it is said in ISKCON, generally we say, we make a joke. After 16 rounds, you can't see the beat back of that devotee. It's gone. You don't see the beat back. Even he doesn't know where is my beat back. 16 rounds is done. Chanting is not done. Prabhupada says 16 rounds on the beat, innumerable rounds off the beats. You have heard that? We took a vow, minimum 16 rounds. We didn't take a vow 16 rounds. So of course, 16 rounds we do, but sometimes when you get time, chant more. Sometimes, keep in your mind, chanting more. Do not drive and chant. Many devotees have lost their life while driving. Don't do that, even if you have lack of time. Don't keep a counter and chanting and finish your chanting while driving. It will not help you, it will not help Krishna. It will help nobody. Many people are, my godbrothers, they lost their lives because of driving and chanting. And create an environment to chant exclusively. This is a very important point if you want to understand. Now, you see Christianity, you see churches. Churches are very big, no? Isn't it? Very big. Why Christians used to make very big churches? Like our temple is like, we don't make such big, but cathedrals, big. Because they understood the concept of spatial arrangement. Spatial arrangement. The bigger the space, the more awe and reverence you have, isn't it? It gives, even if you go in church now, it's so big, and my God, and you feel that awe and reverence. So they use the space to create the mood. Temple is all about creating mood. What is this temple all about? What is this room all about? What is deities? Why Krishna has made this system? To create a mood to remember him, isn't it? When you come in the temple hall, 50% of your job is done. 50% of your trash is out. Because you know Krishna is here and it's nice. So this temple hall is a mood, is creating a mood of spiritual world. So that we can fix our mind. So creating a space, that's very important. Putting yourself in an environment while chanting which helps you to chant more. That's very important. Don't put yourself in an environment while chanting which makes you forget chanting. Don't do that. Try to do something. So that's very important for householders. Because householders, they chant in morning in their house, and then their wife is calling, children are calling, they have to rush for a job, they can chant and finishing chanting. No, so in morning if you want to chant, I advise generally devotees that if you want to chant in the morning, go out in the park. Get away from your house. Otherwise, you are just busy in your house. You know, you can't chant properly. It happens like that, at least in India and America, people are, families, at least in Indian families, it's like that. So, you have to create a space, and a virtual space. Virtual space means space in your mind. While chanting, get rid of a phone, for example, so that your mind is stable and peaceful. Because otherwise, if you have a phone in your pocket, your subconscious mind will start thinking. Keep on thinking. There's some mail coming, something. Your subconscious mind is active. You can't help it. So you have to stop that also. So you have to create a good environment. And there's a warning, but by Prabhupada. This is very important. Prabhupada says, revival of dormant affection of love of God does not depend on mechanical system of hearing and chanting. See this. Even if you chant properly, even if you hear everything about Krishna, Krishna is not obliged to give you mercy. He is independent. You have to understand. Simply by following a process, we cannot force Krishna to give mercy. So we have to chant with a proper attitude. That's very important. Simply chanting and it doesn't help. Chanting like a parrot or completing your rounds, it'll not help you. Bahu janma jadi kare shravana kirtan tabu na paaye Krishna pade premathan. Even if you chant for millions of lives, still you will not get love of God if your attitude is not proper. It's not a mechanical thing. So what is the attitude while chanting? This is the attitude while chanting. When you chant, you should remember this. Now these are some practical things I'm telling you. How to chant. Now why to chant, I told you. Next question is how to chant. Remember this. While chanting, first important point to keep in mind, Prabhupada says, is chant with understanding holy name of Krishna is Krishna. That's one of the lecture. And what that means is, Prabhupada says, you should, as soon as you approach deity or the name, you should know fully that Krishna is present. We should worship deity with great attention. As much Krishna is present, similarly we should worship holy name with great attention. Remember, when you are chanting, you are having a meeting with God. Even if there is a bomb blast in your neighborhood, don't worry. Because you are with Krishna. When you are with Krishna, whole world can go to hell. But now we are not supposed to think of that. Because we are in meeting with Him. You can't think of that. Anything else. That is the meaning, that holy name of Krishna is Krishna. We have to be very attentive. We have to chant with this understanding. So it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when you chant, the holy name dances on your tongue. Love of God dances in your heart. And the soul dances in your consciousness. All the three dances together. It's a beautiful verse. All the three dance. So there's something important going on. That's the meaning of, with the understanding, holy name of Krishna is Krishna. And also remember, while chanting, now this is important, you see this. This is the same quote from Bhagavatam. It is natural psychology in every individual case that person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories. That is natural instinct. And Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to the psychology. There's a very important another point here. When you're chanting, remember that Krishna is also hearing with you. It's not just you are hearing. It is not a question of us. Devotion is not all about us actually. Devotion is all about Krishna. So more important while chanting is not our hearing, but Krishna's hearing. So when we chant, we are hearing, and who else is hearing? Krishna is hearing. In fact, without Krishna hearing, you can't even hear. You know that? That's philosophy. If Krishna doesn't hear, you cannot hear. If Krishna doesn't see, you cannot see. It's impossible. First the information goes to Krishna. And then it comes to us. That's third canto, fourth canto. That's a philosophy. Prabhupada gives an example. Your eyes may be perfect. Your vision may be perfect. There might be object. But if there's no light, you cannot see it. With the help of light, you see. Similarly, with the help of Krishna, you hear. So when you are chanting, remember, you are hearing and Krishna is hearing. If you delete Krishna from the picture, you are an illusion. You can't delete Krishna. So if you think Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I am hearing, and that's it.
Yes,
it's not good chanting. I am hearing and Krishna is hearing. Rather, the perfection of chanting is when you chant, remember that Krishna is hearing and I am also hearing. That's a better way to say that. Rather than saying I am hearing and Krishna is also hearing, the ideal thing situation is Krishna is hearing and I am also hearing. That is the real, that is actually reality. If you remember that, then our chanting will be good. So when we chant, remember that even if you can't focus on Krishna, remember Krishna is focusing on you. Don't worry about that. You try to focus as much as you can. You try to hear holy names. But even if you can't hear properly in the beginning, remember Krishna is hearing. Even if you can't focus, and we can't focus, remember Krishna is focusing. Even if you can't remember Him, remember He is remembering you. And if you remember that, your mind will fix more better than before. Because you are now bringing Krishna into picture. The more you bring Krishna into picture, the more your mind gets fixed on Krishna, because that's reality. Illusion will make you distracted. Reality will make you focused. So that is the attitude while chanting. And the mood while chanting is prayerful and grateful. Now, what is the best prayer while chanting? We all know that. Come on. What's the best prayer while chanting? Yeah, please engage me in your... Yeah, so that's the basis of all prayers. When you pray with this mood, please engage me in your service. From this one prayer will emerge millions of prayers. Just like when flower blossoms, the smell comes. This is the foundation of all prayers. Please engage me in your service. But then there are many prayers will come in your heart. And what are the prayers? Those prayers are songs of Vaishnava Acharyas. They, out of their mercy, they took those prayers out of their heart and made a song out of it. Okay, this is my heart. So, that's why I wrote prayerful mood. It's not just one prayer. Please be engaging yourself, please engage me yourself, please engage yourself, please engage yourself. That's okay. Initially, it's like that. But then there are millions and different kinds of prayers, because Krishna... You know what? Krishna is a very funny person. He gets bored very easily. Remember that. He gets bored very easily. And that is why in spiritual world he has so many rasas, isn't it? Madhuri ras, Vatsalya ras, Dasya ras, this ras, so many. Even Madhuri ras, you have so many gopis, different type of gopis, millions of gopis. Because he doesn't like to get bored. That Prabhupada says in Nectar Devotion, by the way. If you read properly, in Qualities of Krishna. And if you offer just one prayer to him, he gets, oh, come on. There's so many prayers. And that is why we have to learn how to pray. And that is why there's so many prayers in Bhagavatam. Isn't it? We read them. Why we read Bhagavatam? To learn how to pray. Prabhupada says you should learn how to pray. But the basis of all prayers is what Prabhupada gave us. Please engage me in your service. That's the foundation. But then you have to build a building on that. Don't remain in the foundation. You have to develop your prayerful mood by reading prayers from Bhagavatam, by reading prayers from Nectar of Devotion, and build many prayers on that. And please Krishna. We are praying to please Him. We are not praying to protect ourselves only. That's not the idea. We are not important. Remember that. We are absolutely not important. Importance is Krishna. And we should be grateful to Him. You know why we are grateful to Him? Because out of His mercy, we can chant His holy names. We can't even chant Hare Krishna if He doesn't give us power to chant, isn't it? Prabhupada says in one of His lecture, Krishna can paralyze you, then you can't even move your tongue. We take it so granted. Tomorrow, I'll pick up my bead bag and I will move my mouth, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But we forget, even that's not up to you. It's not for granted that you can pick up your beads and chant. No. That is why whenever you chant, be very grateful to God. Because of you, I am able to chant now. You're so nice. You're so merciful. and let me surrender to you. With that mood you have to chant. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take that. You can't just say Hare Krishna. It doesn't happen like that. If Krishna doesn't have grace, you'll not be able to move an inch in devotion. So don't forget that. Out of pride we forget that gratefulness. That's our pride. And humbleness will bring gratefulness. Humbleness is judged by this gratefulness, by the way. And the last thing is, chanting is best glorification. Remember that? This is from Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 7th chapter, 95th verse, purport. This is very important statement. Actually, if you understand this, you understand devotion. If you don't understand this, you understand nothing. This is the statement of a philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnava. Whole philosophy can be compressed in this statement. And Prabhupada writes, Lord Chaitanya never tried to be the master of holy name. Rather, he taught us to be the servants of holy name. Have you heard this? Is Prabhupada says that. So this is your homework. Now, you try to understand this. Why I'm telling? Because it's a very deep statement. There's a Bhakti Siddhanta devoted his whole life to explain this statement. This one statement is the summary of Bhakti Siddhanta's whole life. He fought to establish this statement from Upa Sampradaya. And Prabhupada quotes this. Lord Chaitanya never tried to be master of holy name, rather his daughters to be servants of holy name. If you understand this statement, then you can understand chanting is best glorification. So please go back and meditate on this. No problem. Next year I'll come, if I come. Then we can talk about it. But think about it. Think. Some homework has to be given otherwise. I don't want to solve everything. Maybe on Sunday, let's see. Till Sunday you think. And Sunday we'll talk about it. Make me remember about this. And I'll explain this. But please think. Yeah. And the last is, learn.